This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Please take notes over to me throughout the course of the lesson. With that said, I'd like to hand it back to the Sheikh to start the lesson. Barakallahu feekum. Assalamu alaikum.
وعليكم السلام ورحمة الله وبركاته. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا، إنه من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له، وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، وأشهد أن محمدًا عبده ورسوله. أما بعد، فإن أصدق الحديث كتاب الله تعالى، وخير الهدي هدي محمد صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم، وشر الأمور محدثاتها، وكل محدثة بدعة، وكل بدعة ضلالة، وكل ضلالة في النار. أما بعد, my dear brothers and sisters in Islam, today is our weekly class, Fadail al-Islam. By the Imam al-Mujaddid Muhammad Abdul Wahhab, rahmatullahi alayh. باب ما جاء في الخروج عن دعوة الإسلام. This is the title the author, rahimahullah, gave. What is said regarding naming yourself or attributing yourself to other than an Islam. Our identity, my dear brothers and sisters, is al-Islam. We are Muslims. We are Muslims. We submit to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to His will. We are following the path of all prophets and messengers of Allah, because all of them submitted to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So we are Muslims. What are you? I am a Muslim. This is my identity. I am a Muslim. Sayyidina Salman al-Farisi, Salman, the Persians, he was in a gathering, and you know, the Arabs, they had this problem of boasting about their lineage and their ancestors, and I think it is in other communities as well. So someone is saying, I'm from this, from that, not to state the fact that he belongs to this tribe. No, they were boasting about their lineage. Then they came to him and said, tell us about yourself. He said, I'm Salman, the son of al-Islam. I'm Salman, the son of al-Islam. أبي الإسلام لا أبا لي سواه إذا افتخروا بقيس أو تميمي. My identity is al-Islam. Let them boast about their tribes, whether they are from Qais or from Tamim. So keep this in mind. It's very essential. Our problems today as Muslims, there are many, many labels dividing us. You are a Muslim. You follow that Islam Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam brought 1400 years ago. You follow that Islam, the pure Islam, and you maintain it in its pristine form, as he was taught it to his companions, and his companions passed it to their students, etc. That is the Islam every Muslim should be upon. So we are Muslims. So the author, by this, he is drawing our attention to this, that we should not be divided and we should not have different labels. And his style, you should know by now, is always he will put the title, then he will produce the proofs and the evidence from the Quran and Sunnah. This is his style, this Imam, Sheikh Muhammad ibn Abdullah, rahimahullah. We read his books, Allah said, ayah, hadith, ayah, hadith, ayah, hadith. And yet you find many people, they attributed many things to him which are not true, they fabricated lies, etc. So if you are an objective researcher, and if you are a seeker of knowledge, unbiased, you want to know about this Imam, read his works, not what the people said about him. So after putting this title, he supported it with the ayah from Surah Al-Hajj, ayah 78, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَجَاهِدُوا فِي اللَّهِ حَقَّ جِهَادِهِ هُوَ اجْتَبَاكُمْ وَمَا جَعَلَ عَلَيْكُمْ فِي الدِّينِ مِنْ حَرَجٍ مِلَّةَ أَبِيكُمْ إِبْرَاهِيمَ هُوَ سَمَّاكُمُ الْمُسْلِمِينَ مِنْ قَبْلُ وَفِي هَذَا لِيَكُونَ الرَّسُولُ شَهِيدًا عَلَيْكُمْ وَتَكُونُوا شُهَدَاءَ عَلَى النَّاسِ فَأَقِيمُوا الصَّلَاةَ وَآتُوا الزَّكَاةَ وَاعْتَصِمُوا بِاللَّهِ هُوَ مَوْلَاكُمْ فَنِعْمَ الْمَوْلَى فَنِعْمَ النَّصِيرُ. The meaning, jahidu, strive in the cause of Allah, for the cause of Allah, in the way he deserves, haqqa jihadihi. For it is he who has chosen you and laid upon you no hardship in the religion, the way of your forefather, Ibrahim. It is Allah who named you the ones who submit and Muslim. In the earlier scripture and in this, the Quran, he called you Muslims. So that the messenger may be a witness over you and that you may be witnesses over mankind, humanity. So establish prayer, pay zakah, and hold fast to Allah. He alone is your guardian. What an excellent guardian and what an excellent helper. Let us now ponder on this beautiful ayah. Wajahidu. So this is a command. فعل أمر جاهدوا strive struggle against your own nafs, and that's the most important thing. You will not be able to strive and to combat the enemies and confront them without overcoming your own nafs, your own self. So you need to purify this soul, this nafs, and bring it under your thumb so you control it. And you discipline this nafs by the revelation. That's why there was no jihad in Mecca. All the Meccan period, no jihad. Jihad in the sense the combat with the enemies, physical confrontation. The first ayat came down were ayat to soften their hearts. Laying the foundation, preparing them for the heavy task that they are going to shoulder in the future. That's why they went through tough period of time, the Sahaba, tough tests, tribulations. Persecutions. Some were killed. They were driven from their homes. They were forced to leave Mecca to Abyssinia. Allah was preparing them to go through all these hardships. Allah told him in Mecca, "Kuffu aydiyakum, hold back your hands. Do not retaliate. Do not react. Endure what you are, what happens to you." Allah told them, "Wajahidhum bihi jihadan kabira." The jihad in Mecca was only to read the Quran. Because Allah was preparing the Sahaba spiritually. Allah made Qiyam al-Layl in the beginning for them, the Sahaba in Mecca, fard, to pray the night prayer. To uplift the spirits and to strengthen their iman, to build up their spirituality. Because you need this type of jihad to overcome the nafs. Without having this driving force and tremendous force within you and the motive and the readiness to sacrifice for Allah's deen, then you will not be able to face your enemies. So, my dear brothers and sisters, we need to reform ourselves and build our iman and repent and turn to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So Allah here, he commands and says, وَجَاهِدُوا فِي اللَّهِ, and strive. And the jihad has many forms. Not the physical confrontation or the combat, no. There are many forms of jihad. Jihad for women is the Hajj. Okay? Which has no thorn, as in the Hadith. Strive in the Hadith against the polytheists, against the mushriks. With your wealth, with your tongues, and with yourselves. So there are grades and there are types of jihad. وَجَاهِدُ فِي اللَّهِ حَقَّ جِهَادِهِ. Why حَقَّ جِهَادِهِ? This is it. Is it when you go out and set out to fight and to combat and oppose and drive back the transgressors and the attackers. What was the motive? What is the intention behind it when you came out? Is it for the sake of Allah? Or you came out to participate in the fight so that people will praise you, mention you. So you have different motives. Or you want to retaliate, to take a revenge, which is not for the sake of Allah. So that's why in the hadith, the Sahaba, they asked the Prophet ﷺ, and they said, O Prophet of Allah, a man fights for the sake of his tribe, okay, or for reputation, okay. So what is the jihad which is we are supposed to do, the jihad for Allah's sake? Because people, they go to jihad with different intentions. My motive is that people will praise me, oh, he was a brave man, etc. So the Prophet ﷺ, he told them, and he gave them the precise answer. He told them, من جاهد لتكون كلمة الله هي العليا هو في سبيل الله. Because they mentioned which type of jihad this motive is for the cause of Allah. He told them none of them. The only one jihad will be for the cause of Allah is that when your intention purely and exclusively for raising the word of Allah, Allah's deen, to make Allah's deen supreme and victorious. If that is the motive, if that is the intention, then you are setting out in the jihad for the cause of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. حَقَّ جِهَادِهِ. One of the Sahaba, he was fighting. Then when they got the spoils and the ghanaim of the war, the booties, they divided, he was not present, and they left his chair. So when he came, they gave him, said, this is your share. Came to the Prophet ﷺ and he said, O Prophet of Allah, ma ala hadha bay'atuka. I didn't give you the bay'ah, the pledge and the allegiance to come to fight for the cause of Allah for any worldly benefits. I don't want this. I didn't come out for this. I came out wishing to have an arrow hitting me here in my throat to die and meet Allah as a martyr. That's why I came out and I participated. The Prophet ﷺ told him, Usduq Allah yasduq. Be truthful. Be honest. If you are sincere, Allah will grant you what you want, what you wish, martyrdom. After a while, he was brought carried, dead. He was martyred in the battlefield with the arrow sticking in the place he put his finger. Exactly. So that is haqqa jihadihi. وجاهدوا في الله حق جهاده. هو اجتباكم. It is Allah who chose you. Alhamdulillah that He Allah made us Muslims. My dear brothers and sisters, say all the time, Alhamdulillah, I am a Muslim. This is the greatest blessing. And unfortunately, many of us are not grateful for that blessing that I am a Muslim. Allah chose me from among all the children of Adam and made me a Muslim. And made my parents Muslims. Alhamdulillah. Say Alhamdulillah. Say it. Who is tobacco? He's the one who chose you. You see, in the hadith, the Prophet ﷺ said, Allah nadara ila ahl al-ard. Allah looked upon the inhabitants of earth. Okay? At that time, 1400 years ago, before the advent of Islam. اطلع إلى أهل الأرض فمقتهم جميعا عربهم وعجمهم إلا بقايا من أهل الكتاب. So Allah looked upon the people on earth and he despised them. Disliked them. All. Because they were far away. Far away from his way. Both the Arabs and the non-Arabs, except few numbers of the people of the scriptures who were sincere and practicing what was mentioned in their scriptures, in the revelation. So the earth was in total darkness, and this light emerged, emanated, radiated from the mountains of Paran or Faran, the mountains of Mecca. The Bible says Paran in the Old Testament. That is the light, the Wahi. The light that illumined and dissipated the darkness of paganism and polytheism. Huwa, Allah chose you. Something was given to you by Allah, by your Lord, and you've been chosen by Him. وَرَضِيتُ لَكُمْ الْإِسْلَامَ دِينًا. And they have, chosen for you al-Islam as a way of life. Who would you tell her? Allah is the one who chose you. So be grateful to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Who would you tell her? وَمَا جَعَلَ عَلَيْكُمْ فِي الدِّينِ مِنْ حَرَجٍ. He did not make any difficulty for you in this deed. This deed, its nature is so simple, easy, very easy. Nothing in this deed, in this religion, that is beyond your capacity. You cannot bear. All the teachings of Islam are easy, can be shouldered, can be implemented, can be executed. You can bear them. It's not. No hardships. No hardships. No difficulties. This is the nature of this beautiful deen. No haraj. And the moment you face a hardship, you see how Allah provides the easiness from Himself. Fattakullaha mastata'tum. Our problem, we don't know this deen. Fattakullaha mastata'tum. Fear Allah to the best of your ability. That's it. Allah is telling you, I don't want you anything more than what you can bear. Something beyond your capacity, I don't expect it from you. Fattakullaha mastata'tum. Fear Allah to the best of your ability. Something beyond your capacity, Allah will excuse you, exempt you. When Ammar ibn Yasir was tortured and he was about to die, and he could not take the pain and the agony and the suffering except by saying something bad about the Prophet. Then they stopped beating him. So he came to the Prophet and he said, O Prophet of Allah, they did not allow me and they did not stop beating me until hatta nil to mink, until I said things, bad things about you. Said, how do you feel? How's your heart when you say these things? Said, my heart is disliking what I said. But I only said it to save my life. What did the Prophet tell him? In aadaw fard. If they punish you again, if they torture you again, and you find no way to stop them except to say the same thing you said, do it again. The leeway is there, room is there. Because human beings are not the same. Some they are like Ammar, some they are like Bilal. Bilal, he was only saying Ahadun, Ahad, Ahadun, Ahad. He didn't say anything to please them or to beg them to stop torturing him. So he was able to endure and bear the suffering. He said the sweetness of Ahadun Ahad was the root cause of my patience. I feel the delightfulness and sweetness of it. But not everyone can be like Bilal. So in our Islam, we have Bilal and we have Ammar. So don't expect everyone to be like Bilal. So if someone is like Ammar, okay, Islam gives that room. That room is there. So this Islam, this deen, there's no hardships in it, in the sense something beyond your capacity that will not you will not find in Islam. For example, because when you are traveling, the Prophet ﷺ said, As-safaru qit'a min al-'adab. Traveling is a piece of punishment. It is something painful, traveling, especially in the past. Even today, okay, though you are traveling by an aeroplane, but you don't know whether you reach the destination and you go through turbulence and you've got many things. So you're always in that anxious state. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He knew that traveling is not easy, so He shortened the prayers for you. He said, okay, no need for you to pray Asr, Maghrib, Isha, and the Dhuhr, 4 rak'ahs, 2 rak'ahs only. And you can combine also the prayers together, Dhuhr with Asr, Maghrib with Isha, and Fajr alone. So this is the taysir, the ease comes from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If you are running of water and you are dying of thirst, and you didn't find anything except khamr, to save your life, you can have a sip of it to quench your thirst. Or if you are starving, die, and you find a carcass, dead animal, you can have a bite of it so that to sustain you, so that you survive. This is the nature of the deen of Islam, of Islam. No hardships in it. فَاتَّقُوا اللَّهَ مَا اسْتَطَعْتُمْ. Fear Allah to the best of your ability. وَمَا جَعَلَ عَلَيْكُمْ. Allah did not make in this deen or laid upon you, imposed upon you any hardship. Alhamdulillah. Because He is Ar-Rahman Ar-Rahim, the most kind, the most merciful. Millata abikum Ibrahim. This is the deen, this is the religion, the millah, monotheism, the monotheistic creed of your father, Ibrahim alayhi salam. Huwa sammakum al-muslimin. Who called you Muslims? That's why you'll find in the books, who called us the Muslims, Allah or Ibrahim? But it can be both. Huwa sammakum al-muslimin min qabl. Because Ibrahim is the father of all the prophets. Who was sammakum al-muslimina? Allah called us Muslims. Ibrahim alayhi salam reminded his children all the time to die as Muslims. Who was sammakum al-muslimin min qablu? So if we say the one who called us Muslim, Allah, that means Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala called all the prophets and messengers Muslims because they submit. And Ibrahim also, he did the same thing. Who named you al-Muslimin, those who submit to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Min qablu means in the previous inscriptions mentioned in the previous scriptures, in the scrolls, in the Psalms, in the Torah, in the Gospels. وفي هذا and in the Quran. هذا and this means the Quran. Allah called us Muslims. وفي هذا. So, what's our label? Muslims. What are you? I'm a Muslim. I am a Muslim. Following the belief of Islam. The religion of Islam. The Islam that Prophet Muhammad ﷺ preached and taught. 1400 years ago, he taught it to his companions, his disciples, his students, and passed to us from generation to generation. At the time, a Muslim following that Islam. ليكون الرسول شهيدا عليكم وتكونوا شهداء على الناس. So that the messenger may be a witness. Shaheed means a witness. Okay, this is the beauty of the Arabic. Shaheed can means a martyr. Shaheed can be someone who is eyewitness, who is witnessing. Shahid. So that the messenger, so Allah chose this deen al-Islam for us. So that the messenger may be a witness over you. That day, yes, the day of resurrection, the Prophet ﷺ will be a witness over us. And us, the Muslims, will be witnesses over mankind, humanity. Because some of the followers of the prophets who preceded our prophet, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and may Allah's blessings and peace upon all of them. Their followers, they will deny and belie that the message didn't reach us, no one invite us. So they lie against their own prophet. So who will testify? Who will be eyewitness? Who will be witness that the prophet, this prophet, he delivered his the message to them? Our ummah, the Muslims. Because Allah told us that his messengers, they delivered the message. So based on what Allah told us, we will be witnesses of mankind. So be proud, be thankful, be grateful to Allah that He made you and made this ummah witnesses of mankind. Because we are the ummah of Adil. We are the nation of justice. Adil. Yaqul Islam ibn Taymiyyah rahimahullah, he said, Ahlul Sunnah, the Muslims who follow the Sunnah of the Prophet, Ahlul Sunnati ya'rifuna al-haqqa wa yarhamuna al-khalqa. So the people of Sunnah, they know the truth. وَيَرْحَمُونَ الْخَلْقِ. Their hearts full of mercy and kindness towards mankind. Towards mankind. Rahmah. And Allah described our Prophet ﷺ, وَمَا أَرْسَلْنَاكَ إِلَّا رَحْمَةً لِلْعَالَمِينَ. We have sent you as Rahmah. Mercy. Of mankind. Then Allah said, فَأَقِيمُ الصَّلَاةَ. Establish the prayers. وَآتُ الزَّكَاةَ. Give the zakah. Salah. أقيموا الصلاة. Not just pray. أقيموا. Establish it. Perfectly. Before time of Salah, you are ready. You are longing, longing. Your heart is longing, yearning for the Salah. When the time of Salah will come. Among those who would be in the shade of the mighty throne, وَقَلْبٌ وَرَجُلٌ قَلْبُهُ مُعَلَّقٌ بِالْمَسَاجِدِ. A man whose heart is clung, attached, to the masajid. One of the mashayikh has said metaphorically that when he leaves the masjid, he leaves his heart in the masjid. He comes out without his heart. So he's longing because his heart is attached there in the masjid. Longing for the salah. So you prepare yourself. You plan your day about the timings of the salah. Your business about the timing of salah. I cannot have meeting at this time. It is time for salah. You plan your day around the timings of the prayers. You hear Allahu Akbar, you leave everything in your hand because Allah is greater than whatever you are doing. Allahu Akbar, Allah is greater than what I'm doing right now. Leave everything. So before that, you already prepared yourself psychologically, mentally. You took wudu, you are just waiting for the call of for the prayers, and you proceed to the masjid. And women at home, if you have spacious house, you can allocate one room in the house and make it masjid in the house, masjid, prayer room. It's only for the prayers. Okay? So where the women can pray in that room and pray Jama'ah and read Quran and pray Tahajjud, etc. So the Salah, my dear brothers and sisters, okay, this is the Amud al-Islam. This is the, without Salah, okay, without the Salah, you're not a Muslim. Because this is how you connect with your Creator through the Salah. Five times you stand before your Lord minimum, where He fixes all your defects, all your problems. Before the Salah, you had depression, anxiety. You get up and you pray. After that, you feel relief. What happened? Yes, I've been checked. This complex machinery, the one who created it, he fixed everything within it. They have taken images, photographs, using special cameras, maybe an infrared, for a person before and after the Salah. Before the Salah, there is this light around him. But after the Salah, that amount of light, increased. Increased. So that's why the Prophet ﷺ, he used to tell Bilal, "Arihna biha ya Bilal. Bilal, establish the Salah, start the Salah, make the adhan. أرحنا بها. Let us have this sense of rest, relaxation, relief. أرحنا بها. Let us be relaxed in the salah. فأقيم الصلاة. And I'll tell you a secret. This secret that if you try to make your salah shorter, it becomes heavier, very heavy on you. But if you prolong it, it becomes lighter, lighter. Because you are standing before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and you are enjoying talking to your Lord by reciting His kalam. Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, in one rak'ah, he finished Baqarah, Ali Imran, Nisa. In one rak'ah, the Sahabi night prayer. The Sahabi who prayed with him, he said, I was going to leave him alone because they couldn't take it. He would stand in the prayer till his feet would swell. And when he was asked, oh Prophet, you pray and you do more righteous deeds, though all your sins are forgiven. He replied, أَفَلَا أَكُونَ عَبْدًا شَكُورًا. Shouldn't I be a grateful servant of Allah? فَأَقِيمُ الصَّلَاةِ. So everyone should establish the salah. وَأْمُرْ أَهْلَكَ بِالصَّلَاةِ وَاسْتَبِرْ عَلَيْهَا. Command your family, your wife, your children to pray. وَاسْتَبِرْ عَلَيْهَا. And be always constant and have sabr and patience in maintaining the prayers. فَأَقِيمُوا الصَّلَاةَ وَآتُوا الزَّكَاةَ. Give the zakah. This is one of the pillars of Islam. And this is zakah, purification. It purifies the soul. It removes the greed from within this nafs, because we love money and wealth. تُعِبُّونَ الْمَالَ عُبًّا جَمًّا. And you love wealth extremely. So I have to take from this money portion, give it out for the poor. And this is how Islam solved the problem of poverty and no classes. Those who are very rich and those who are downtrodden. Those, the needy, the destitute in the Muslim community. If every Muslim is giving his zakah, you will not find anyone who is in need. And it happened, and it can happen. It happened during the reign of Sayyidina Umar bin Abdul Aziz. They did not find anyone eligible for the zakah, to take the zakah. So the zakah, it eradicates and removes and uproots from your nafs the yasha, the greed, covetousness for the wealth, and you give it out. And also zakah brings about mutual love among all the community members, the poor and the rich. They love each other. So there is no jealousy, there is no envy that the poor are feeling jealous of the rich ones. When they see someone who is well off, they make dua. Say, oh Allah, bless his wealth, because they know ocean of it will come to them. So this is how Islam addressed the issue of the faqr, or poverty. Subhanallah. During the reign of Sayyidina Umar bin Khattab, he saw an old man begging. He asked, who's that? They said, he's a Jew. A Jew. He is asking for help. He said, oh no, it is unfair. Because when he was young, he used to give us the tax, jizya. And now he cannot give the tax, so he is begging. It is unfair. We have to respect him and respect his old age. Give him from Bayt al-Mal. Give him what is sufficient for him from Bayt al-Mal. Bayt al-Mal of the Muslims, which means the budget of the state. This is our Islam. وَآتُوا الزَّكَاةَ وَاعْتَصِمُوا بِاللَّهِ اعْتَصِمُوا بِاللَّهِ اعْتِصَام بِاللَّهِ relying on Allah, counting on Allah, depending on Allah. وَاعْتَصِمُوا بِحَبْلِ اللَّهِ جَمِيعًا وَلَا تَفَرَّقُوا. Hold all of you Muslims together to the robe of Allah and do not be divided. And see our situation today. Muslims are divided. Because we are divided, we are weak. And that's what Allah warned us. Do not dispute, Allah is telling us, lest your strength leaves you. You become weak because you are divided. وَاعْتَصِمُوا بِاللَّهِ هُوَ مَوْلَاكُمْ. Allahu Akbar. Hold fast to Allah. See, my dear brothers and sisters, the most important thing that you make Allah on your side. If Allah is on your side, finish. You don't worry about anything. But what if Allah is not on my side? How to make Allah on my side? Very easy. By obeying Him. By obeying Allah. And follow what He tells me and teaches me, then Allah will be on my side. Then I will be strong because I am with the Qawi, the most powerful. Subhanahu wa ta'ala. The Sahaba, there were very few in the Battle of Badr. Outnumbered many times by the mushriks. So much so that the Prophet ﷺ was crying to Allah. Because, as you know, the Battle of Badr, Sahaba didn't come out to fight. They came out, their intention is to confiscate the caravan of Quraysh. Okay? Because Quraysh, they confiscated the Muslims' property in Mecca. So this is their right. So that was their intention. Not to fight. But Quraysh decided something else. Though, before they left Mecca, because Abu Sufyan, by then he was not a Muslim, when he arrived at the wells of Badr, he saw the droppings of the horses. So he took one dropping and crushed it in his hand, and he found seeds of date inside. So immediately, quick calculation, he figured out that these horses are fed with date. Only Muslims in Medina, date is only in Medina. So these are the horses of the Muslims. So the Muslim must be around here. So he took different route and he managed to escape. And he sent to Quraysh, okay, I managed to save your caravan. So Quraysh said, no, 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 we have to put an end to the Muslims, Muhammad and his companions. And they came out. And now the Prophet ﷺ is not facing the caravan, an army. What to do? What to do? There's no way except to turn to Allah, to the Qawi, to the most powerful. And he was crying and crying and praying and crying. So much so, Sayyidina Abu Bakr told him, enough, enough, O Prophet of Allah. Allah will not desert you. Allah will not abandon you. He was telling Allah in his dua, in tahlak hadhi al-usaba, if this group of the Sahaba, the whole Muslims, you will never be worshipped after today. And Allah heard the dua of his prophet and the supplication. اتستغيثون ربكم فاستجاب لكم أني ممدكم بألف من الملائكة مردفين. So when you are calling upon Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, appealing to Allah, pleading to Allah, begging Allah, he responded. And he provided the Muslims, 1,000 angels fighting in ranks. The Malaika came down in the Battle of Badr fighting along with the Sahaba. In the Hadith, authentic Hadith, one of the Sahaba said, they said, we used to hear the sounds of the whips and we don't see the whips. And I was chasing one of the mushriks and the angel hit him before me with his whip on the nose of the mushriks, and I saw the effect of the hit of the angel. And I heard the angels telling his horse, Bif Hayzum, the name of the horse. Okay. So this is what we have. We have to come back to Allah and make Allah on our side. And hold fast to Allah. He alone is your guardian. Yes. Our guardian is only Allah. Our Mawla is Allah. The one we rely on is Allah and Allah only. This is what we have to keep in mind. And hold fast to Allah. He alone is your guardian. وَنِعْمَ بِاللَّهِ هُوَ مَوْلَاكُمْ He is your Mawla. He's the one who's close to you. He's the one who's going to protect you. فَنِعْمَ الْمَوْلَى وَنِعْمَ النَّصِيرُ What an excellent guardian. Yes. الله يدافع عن الذين آمنوا الله يدافع عن الذين آمنوا الله defends the believers الله يدافع عن الذين آمنوا What an excellent guardian نعم المولى ونعم النصير. وطن اكسلنت غارديان، وطن اكسلنت هيلبر. Do you want helper more than Allah? Do you want helper more than Allah who owns everything? Yunud al-samawati wal-ard? All the forces he owns. So when we are true believers and obey Allah and turn to Allah and count on Allah, he provides the help and the support. Don't you know what he did to the Pharaoh? He just commanded one of these soldiers, okay, the sea. Told the sea, oh sea, swallow Pharaoh and his army. That's it. See, the sea is commanded by Allah. Allah said to Musa alayhi salam, "Idrib bi 'asaka al-bahr." Just strike your sea, the sea with your staff. The sea split. Water divided. Water split and divided and solidified. Can you see? It went against its nature. Any fluid, it flows horizontally. Allah made this water of the sea to solidify and go up like that. Walls of water standing. And the bed of the sea became dry. And Musa alayhi salam and his followers, the Israelites from Israel, were walking on dry land. And there were tribes. And these walls of water are transparent. They can see, oh, where's my son? Oh, he's in here, here, here. They're seeing each other. That's the power of Allah. That's the power of Allah. And hold fast to Allah. He alone is your guardian. What an excellent guardian. And what an excellent helper. نعم المولى ونعم النصير. May Allah help our ummah. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect our ummah. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bring us back to him. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala keep us remain steadfast on this beautiful deen. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgive us our faults and mistakes and ignorance. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless us with the beneficent knowledge and righteous deeds. And may Allah reward all of you, my dear brothers and sisters, immensely for your patience and attendance. Barakallahu feekum, jazakumullahu khaira. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa'alaikum salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Host is not back yet. I've only got one question. So inshallah, brothers and sisters, if you can send the questions to me until the host is back. I've already sent the first question.
Okay, just reading the question, 1 minute. Okay. Can Sheikh please elaborate on the word taqwa by giving its word root, linguistic meaning, technical and Shari'i meaning so that we can understand the word in depth. Yes, the taqwa is from waqa yaqi. Waqa is the root, yaqi, waqiya. You open the dictionary, you want to find taqwa, go with under the root waw, qaf, ya, waqa. Waqa yaqi, waqiya. Which means to ward off, to keep a barrier between you, some between you and something harmful. Something is going to harm you, so you put something between you and that thing. So yattaqi means to avoid, to ward off, to protect something. So that is linguistically. So you keep something between you and what might harm you. That's why prevention is better than cure. Okay, it's translated in Arabic, prevention. Al-wiqaya to al-wiqaya. Wiqaya from the same root, waqayati, prevention. Prevention is better than cure. Al-wiqaya to khayrun, khayrun min al-ilaj. It's better than the cure. Prevent, to avoid the anything that will affect your health is better than then look for medication. And always there will be a link and connection between the lexical meaning and the technical meaning or lexical definition and the technical definition with the linguistic one. Linguistic meaning with the technical meaning. So now you know, when we say taqwa Allah, that means you keep something between you and Allah's anger. How to avoid Allah's anger? I have to have something. What is that thing which will ward off Allah's anger and wrath? Good deeds, righteous deeds. So that's how you have to keep this, your shield, something between you and what displeases Allah, good deeds. Taqwa Allah. That's why the Prophet ﷺ said, ittaqu an-nar walau bi shiqqi tamra. Ittaqu an-nar. So avoid the hellfire, even by giving half of a date. Sadaqah. This good deed will be a reason, a screen, and a shield for you against Allah's wrath and anger. And the ulama and gave different definitions for the taqwa. One definition says that taqwa is that Allah should not see you in places that He doesn't want you to be there, and He should not miss you in places that He wants you to be there. So Allah loves to see you in the masjid. He doesn't want to see you somewhere else where haram is committed. Sayyidina Ali radiallahu anhu gave another definition. He said, At-taqwa al-khawfu min al-jaleel. Al-khawf min al-jaleel. To fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Al-khawfu min al-jaleel. Fearing the Almighty. Al-khawfu min al-jaleel. والرضا بالقليل, and to be content with the little that Allah provided for you, your sustenance, your provision. والعمل بالتنزيل, and to act upon the revelation. فالخوف من الجليل والعمل بالتنزيل, so you fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you act upon the wahi, the revelation, the do's and the don'ts. وَالرِّضَى بِالْقَلِيلِ, to be content, to be satisfied, to be happy with whatever Allah provided for you. وَالْاِسْتِعْدَادِ لِيَوْمِ الرَّحِيلِ, and to prepare yourself for the day of departure, the day that you will die, you will leave this world. Another definition, one of the ulama, he put it poetically. He said, خَلِّ الذُّنُوبَ صَغِيرَهَا وَكَبِيرَهَا. ذَاكَ التُّقَى. خَلِّ الذُّنُوبَ. Leave the sins. صَغِيرَهَا وَكَبِيرَهَا. Leave the sins, whether they are major or minor, both. We have a problem here with many Muslims. To them, if you say, this is a minor sin, oh, it is halal. Let us do it. The ulama, when they mentioned and classified kaba'ir, major sins and minor sins, not for this reason, to make them right in the hearts of the people. No. It is to know the hukum. That's why the ulama, they said, la kabira ma'astighfar. No sin will be considered major sin as long as you repent and make istighfar and ask Allah to forgive you. If you commit a sin, major sin, it's not the end. You can repent and Allah will accept you. So, la kabira ma istighfar. Wa la saghira ma israr. And no sin should be treated lightly and considered minor if you insist and persist in doing it. It can become major sin. So the ulama, they said, you have to look to the one. Whom did you disobey? Allah. So glorify Allah and sanctify his limits. خَلِّ الذُّنُوبَ خَلِّ الذُّنُوبَ صَغِيرَهَا وَكَبِيرَهَا. Leave the sins, both major and minor. ذَاكَ التُّقَى. That is piety. That is taqwa. وَصْنَعْ كَمَاشٍ فَوْقَ أَرْضِ شَوْكِ يَحْذَرُ مَا يَرَى. And you should behave like someone who is walking in a field, in the countryside, in a field full of thorns. If you are in the countryside and you're walking or in a farm and it is full of thorns, so you will not be walking and you will not walk closing your eyes. You will be minding your steps to avoid any thorn going into your foot. You don't want to be pricked by the needle of any thorn. وَصْنَعْ كَمَاشٍ فَوْقَ أَرْضِ الشَّوْكِ. You should behave like someone who is going through, crossing a field which is full of thorns. يَحْذَرُ مَا يَرَى, is minding his steps, is cautious, is watching. وَصْنَعْ كَمَاشٍ فَوْقَ أَرْضِ الشَّوْكِ يَحْذَرُ مَا يَرَى. لَا تَحْقِرَنَّ صَغِيرَةً. Never ever belittle any sin and consider it minor. لَا تَحْقِرَنَّ. Do not belittle any sin or trivialize any sin. لَا تَحْقِرَنَّ صَغِيرَةً إِنَّ الْجِبَالَ مِنَ الْحَصَى. So don't belittle any sin and consider it minor. Don't you see and don't you know that the mountains are made up of pebbles. Small pebbles to put together formed that huge mountain. I hope this answers the question. Next question, please.
Yes, inshallah. Okay, there's a question from a sister on the mic. Please, sister, unmute your mic.
Okay, I haven't received it. Please post it.
No, it'll be an audio. It'll be an audio. She's going to speak. She's going to ask her question on the mic.
And the mic?
Yes.
Okay, fine. Okay.
السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته شيخ.
وعليكم السلام ورحمة الله وبركاته.
Sheikh, I wanted to clarify with you my understanding of the correct intention, ikhlas. So my understanding is that the correct intention would be, I want to do this action because Allah has commanded me to do this action. And when I will obey His command, I will make Him happy. And I want to make Him happy. So this is the reason why I will make, do this action.
Yeah, that's right.
Or I would say, I will not do this action because Allah has prohibited me from this action. And if I obey His prohibition, I mean, I obey His command and stay away from what He's prohibited me from, I will make Him happy and I want to make Him happy.
That's true. That's
so
true.
This is a class?
Correct, yes, it's correct. Here I would like also to make it clear to all of you that many people, they think ikhlas is something difficult. No, it's not difficult. It is achievable. It's not difficult. How do you think that Allah wants us to be sincere and He knows that this is something we cannot do? It's impossible. So the ikhlas is achievable. It only needs a bit of mujahada, struggle against the nafs, because the nafs always tends towards the evil. So if I manage to control my nafs and stop it from crossing the limits set by Allah, out of fear of Allah and love for Allah, that is, of course, that is what is meant. I do these things seeking the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So you can easily, okay, achieve the ikhlas. It's not something impossible. When you control, you do the do's and you leave the don'ts. That's it. And you sanctify the limits of Allah set by Allah and you don't cross them. That is a sign of sincerity and ikhlas. And I want you always to remember the hadith of the three who got trapped in the cave. The night fell on them. In the previous nation, the Prophet ﷺ mentioned their story. And now they are trapped. The mouth of the cave is sealed with a boulder, with a rock. So now they are inside. They say to each other, the only way that will come out, everyone should mention and supplicate and pray to Allah, and he should mention a good deed that he did it purely for the sake of Allah. So the first one said, I had a cousin, female cousin, who came to me. She was in need. And she asked for help, and I refused to help her. And I stipulated, I made a condition. I will help you, providing you let me sleep with you. She refused, so she left. But she was in need. She came again, and she agreed. And now he is about to make love. He is helpless. So before he broke, before breaking the seal, she told him, اتق الله في الله، ولا تفض الخاتم إلا بحقه. Do not break the seal. The seal means the hymen. Okay. Except in the lawful manner, through marriage. Marry me. Can you imagine? This is the taqwa now. Yes. It agrees to what you said. A man, his weakness is women and sex. And that's why, listen to me, my dear sisters, okay, this is my problem, I keep digressing. When your husband calls you to come to bed, go, because he's so weak. Any delay can lead to a problem to talaq. So that's why the Prophet ﷺ is saying, فَلْتُجِبْهُ وَلَوْ كَانَتْ عَلَى التَّنُّورِ. When her husband asks her, she should respond immediately, even if she is making bread, baking. Leave everything and go to her. So when a person is in that condition, and now imagine this man, okay, he's in that state, he's so vulnerable, so weak, the iman is gone. لَا يَزْنِي الزَّانِي حِينَ يَزْنِي وَهُوَ مُؤْمِنٌ. When you commit zina, iman comes out. Yet, when she told him, اتَّقِ اللَّهِ, hey Allah, do not break the seal, except in the lawful manner, he left her. He left her for the sake of Allah. That's taqwa. When he was reminded, he received the admonition. He left her. Now he said, oh Allah, if I did that for your sake, please remove and move the rock. And the rock rolled. But they cannot come out. Second one, he has to mention something good he did for the sake of Allah. Good deed. Said, my Lord, every night I milk the livestock, the camels or cows, or and bring the milk for my parents, and they feed them before my children. And one night, the livestock came late from the pasture. So by the time I milked and rolled the milk, I found my parents fell asleep. My children were hungry and crying, and they were, my parents already slept. I didn't want to disturb their sleep. So I stood the whole night holding the pot on my hand till they woke up and I gave them the milk. For Allah, if I did that for your sake, please move the rock. Rolled, moved, but they cannot come out. The third one, he said, my Lord, I hired a man and he left without taking his wage, his money. So I used that money, invested it for him. I bought animals, etc., and they multiplied. And after a while, he came. And he said, oh, so-and-so, I worked for you. So give me my wage, my salary, my money. He told him, you see, all this flock of sheep and all this herd of livestock are yours. He said, I just want my wage. He said, that's yours. And he explained to him. And he took all that, the entire herd. Oh Allah, if I did that for your sake, remove this rock. And and it rolled, moved away, and they came out. This is the ikhlas, my dear brothers and sisters. One of our mashayikh, Hafizahullah, he said, consider yourself one of them. Will they come out, or they will be tried because of you, because you didn't have a good deed that you did for the sake of Allah? So my question to myself and to you all, do you have anything, good deed? You did it for the sake of Allah. So when you are in trouble, you make tawassul. By mentioning this, this is type of tawassul permissible. If you don't, work and have good deeds, so that when you are in trouble, you can mention it to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I hope this is clear to your question, sister.
Yes, jazakallah khair.
Barakallah.
Jazakallah khairan. Should I recite the third question?
Yes, yes. Yes, you can.
Question number three. What is the danger of betraying a fellow Muslim, for example, in a business partnership?
It's haram, of course. Betraying, to betray someone in business, whatever, not business, in anything, any transaction, any interaction, a Muslim should not betray any Muslim. So he needs to repent and turn to Allah. And if he wronged his partner and caused some damage to him, he has to fix it. Otherwise, there's a day where he will get his right. Next question, please.
Barakallahu feek. The next question. What is the difference between the difficulties that faced the prophets, alayhi salatu wasalam, that was finally granted victories like Nuh, Ibrahim, Musa, Isa, Muhammad, etc., and what were the difficulties normal believers are facing?
Okay. What's the difference between the difficulties that faced the prophets that was finally granted victories like Nuh, Ibrahim, Musa, Isa, Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa and what the difficulties normal believers are facing? You see, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, أَشَدُّ النَّاسِ بَلَاءً الْأَنْبِيَاءَ ثُمَّ الْأَمْثَلْ فَالْأَمْثَلْ فَإِنْ وُجِدَ فِي دِينَ الرَّجُلِ صَلَابَ زِيدَ لَهُ فِي الْبَلَاءَ. The meaning, أَشَدُّ النَّاسِ بَلَاءَ, those who will receive the toughest and the most painful test, difficult test, are the prophets of Allah. Because they are role models. So they will receive they will go through the most painful test. That's why Ibn Qayyim rahimahullah said, Ya mukhannath al-azmi wal-himma, hadha tariqun naha fihi nuh. Naha fihi nuh. وألقي إبراهيم في النار. ونشر زكريا وقتل يحيى وكسرت رباعية محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم. He said, Oh you fool. The Qayyim is saying, Oh you fool. This way, the way to the Jannah. In this path, Noah cried a lot. 950 years, he cried. Dawah, day and night. Ibrahim was thrown into the fire. Moses was thrown into the water. Zechariah was cut into halves. John the Baptist was beheaded. Muhammad's smaller tooth was broken, and his cheek was wounded. So, my dear brothers and sisters, being tested is inevitable. But Allah tests everyone according to the strength of his iman. And one should not wish for the test, for the trial, ibtila. But if it happens, he should ask Allah for strength to pull through it and to go through it. So here the Prophet ﷺ said, "Ashaddu nasi bala'an al-anbiya." So those who will receive the most difficult tests are the prophets, because they are role models. And their status, of course, the reward is so great. They are in the Firdaus, the highest level. In the dunya. Okay, if you want to study in Harvard, Oxford, Cambridge, admission test is not easy. But then you are a graduate of Harvard or MIT. Okay. The status is lofty. How about the status in the Jannah? The test for that has to be difficult. So أشد الناس ابتلاء الأنبياء ثم الأمثل فالأمثل. Then those who are next to them, according to their iman. Then the hadith says, فَإِنْ وُجِدَ فِي دِينَ الرَّجُلْ صَلَابًا. If Allah sees there is a strength in one's iman, his iman or her iman is so strong, زِيدَ لَهُ فِي الْبَلَى. Allah increases the test, makes it more difficult, because Allah knows that his iman, he can take it. So everyone will be tested according to his iman, the strength of his iman. And there are different grades of tests. Allah tests the people according to the strength of their iman. A man came to the Prophet ﷺ and said, "O Prophet of Allah, I love you." So he told him, "Abshir bil bala." I love you. He said, "Prepare yourself for tests. Anyone who loves me, he will be tested. Anyone who loves me and he wants to be with me in the Jannah, he will be tested. So prepare yourself." And that's why the Sahaba, they went through very painful tests. And Allah will only test those whom he loves. And this is very important. So when Allah tests you, it doesn't mean he hates you. He loves you. He loves you. The Prophet ﷺ, he said, إِذَا أَحَبَّ اللَّهُ عَبْدًا ابْتَلَاهُ. إِذَا أَحَبَّ اللَّهُ عَبْدًا ابْتَلَاهُ. Because some people, they say, why, masakeen? Why this is happening to them? It's none of your business. There's a divine wisdom behind it. Allah tests only those whom he loves. And he takes those whom he loves as martyrs. Not anyone. Only those whom he loves. So that's why the Muslim is always a winner. Always a winner. إِذَا حَبَّ اللَّهُ عَبْدًا عَبْدًا ابْتَلَاهُ. He tests him. I hope this is clear to the questioner.
Jazakallah khair. The next question: was jihad made valid at the time of the other prophets because there has been fighting, like for example between Jalut and Dalut.
The answer yes. When we read in the previous scriptures also, yes, there were fight between the prophets and the followers and their opponents. Yes, yeah. Sunnah. This is Sunnah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Always there will be a struggle between the haqq wal batil, between the truth and falsehood. Always. Next.
Jazakallah khair. The next question, is it sunnah for men to keep their hair long?
It is sunnah for the men to grow their hair to make it longer.
Yeah, is it sunnah for men
It
to
is
grow?
sunnah ada, not sunnah ibadah. It is a traditional and a custom of the Arabs. So you cannot say it is sunnah in the sense that I have to do it. That was the practice of the Arabs. Even today, the Bedouins and many of them, they have long hair and they braid it. And so it is called Sunnat Ada. It is a tradition. It is just a custom. You cannot say it is Sunnah in the sense that one of the Sunnah, because the Sunnah of the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, four times. قولية فعلية تركية and تقريرية. قولية his sayings, فعلية his actions, and approvals تقريرية, he approved of something happening in front of him, like eating the dub type of reptile, or Sahaba they were practicing the coitus interruptus, the azm. So he knew about it. He didn't say anything. So, which means coitus interruptus is halal. Coitus interruptus means when a man is making love to his partner, he ejaculates outside to avoid pregnancy. It is allowed with the permission of the wife. If the wife says no, he cannot practice coitus interruptus. So that is taqririyya. And Sunnah Tarkiyah, what the Prophet ﷺ left in spite of the need. He didn't make adhan for the Eid, he didn't make adhan for the eclipse prayer, both lunar and solar. So the Sunnah not to make adhan. So here, long hair doesn't fall under any of these. The Sunnah. However, if you grow your hair, because the Prophet ﷺ, he grew his hair following the practice and the traditions and the custom of his people, the Arabs. And now my motive, I want to take the Prophet as my role model. So I do that. From because of now this intention, yes, you will be rewarded. You will be rewarded. But of course, when you grow your hair, it should not look girlish. Because some, if we Muslim youth, the way they grow the hair and the ponytail and so they become girlish, they become womanish. No, you should look a man. Okay, you can braid it, you can put the imamah on top of it, etc. But to look like a girl, no. And this is what is now happening to many of the Muslim youth. They are so effeminate, and they are losing their manhood, and that's not what Islam is teaching the Muslim men. No. The Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam used to tell the Sahaba not to comb their hair every day. combing their hair. So he used to tell them, don't comb your hair every day. Leave it for a while. To teach them that they have to be tough. Tough. This softness only for women. Today, see. See the youth. You go to the beauty saloons, you see them, they are removing the hair on their cheeks and facial hair and using different creams and the Prophet ﷺ used to ask the Sahaba sometimes to walk without shoes, barefooted, to make them feel. So if you grow your hair, you should have the niyyah that you emulate the Prophet ﷺ, and you should look like what you made your hairstyle like what he did. Locks, braided it. Not like Bob Marley, huh? Next question, please.
Barakallahu feek. The next question. There is no next question, I believe. Actually, yeah, I'm mistaken. Can tawassul be used once again in another situation?
Can tawassul we used once be used again in another situation? Of course, you can. You are in trouble, so you plead to Allah Azza wa Jal. Yes, you can. Next.
Barakallahu feekum. This is the last question I received.
Alhamdulillah.
So, that said, I'd like to conclude the lesson. Jazakallah khair for everyone's attendance. And I'll see you all next Monday, inshallah. Tomorrow I'm going to doing a trek to Snowdon, which is the highest mountain in England and Wales. So keep me in your du'as and ask Allah to make it easy for me and keep on going for you.
Protect you and save you.
Ameen, ameen.
May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless you all, my dear brothers and sisters. Bless your family. Protect you all from all evils. May Allah elevate your status in this world and in Jannat al-Na'im. Ameen. Until we meet, inshallah, in the coming session, I leave you in Allah's company. Protection. بحفظ الله ورعايته. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله.